Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Congratulations. You have found the best podcast ever if you were looking for an hour of conversation about clits.
If you weren't looking for that, you found a living nightmare.
In this episode of Goes Without Saying with Seffy and Wing, I am Wing, joined by the wonderful Seffy.
Hello.
We cover sex, vaginas, contraception, the failure of sex education, and all things crazy and wild in this new and bizarre episode of Goes Without Saying. I hope this episode is better than the sex that you're having, because I know that the sex you're having isn't good. So last week's Doing the Work, I'm going to jump in. We were doing the work.
We were talking about authenticity. The episode was about authenticity, and we're talking about how to find our truest values, what is at our core, what are the things that we want to live our life by, how do we want to live our life, and what did you come up with?
Okay, well, I was kind of thinking about like the values that I hold true to myself and that I really value in others. This year, what would be nice, I don't know why I'm making it a yearly thing, What would be nice is if we could all have a bit of understanding. Isn't that nice?
Oh my god, that's so nice.
Just understanding. Do I need to explain it? I don't know. You understand. You get it.
Turns out it's another year of realizing things.
It goes without saying. I said to you not that long ago that I feel like I have been hardened in a way. And I kind of want to get back to just being a bit more like...
almost nice, I think you were saying.
Yeah, I used to be so nice. I could be nicer, I think. I think I used to be like unashamedly nice. It's not true to me to withhold kindness in order to be not seen as too nice. It's like, I don't mind if you think I'm too nice. That's okay. So just a bit of kindness and understanding, I think, is the vibes. That's the mood. What's yours?
Wow, I love it. Well, kindness was one of mine as well, because I think it's something I really struggle to be kind to people that I really don't like. Kindness isn't something that always comes quite naturally when someone is being offensive, rude, unlikable. I don't think kindness is what I really slip into. But I made like a list. I wrote down 10 values that are really important to me. And then I, one by one, crossed them off until I had like 3 left. And that those were my 3 main things. And it was really difficult to cross them off. But I think I was left with my top 3. One of them really shocked me. So my one was kindness. One was authenticity. # the buzzword of life these days from us. And my last one shocked me. And it was loyalty, which isn't something that I necessarily want to live by.
I was thinking you were going to say loyalty, which is weird. Because I was thinking, do I say loyalty? And then I thought I probably would have stolen hers.
And it turns out I stole yours. Kindness.
It's a paradox. Statistical conjunction.
Loyalty isn't something that I always value in people. I sometimes think, no, think critically. It's not about who you know the best. I kind of get the impression, do you remember that thing on Love Island, that girl that was like, I'm loyal, babe, I'm loyal?
Oh yeah, what was her name? Georgia. Well, you kind of see loyal as a bit of a doormat, don't you?
It's a bit of a dog, a desperado dog.
Maybe we should do an episode of that.
Definitely. I think loyal seems a bit like you would do anything for that person, so I was shocked that to find that was one of my ones that I wasn't willing to cross off, because I think loyalty is a really stunning thing, and being there for people and being passionate about that person and have gone through things with that person, not as a trauma bond, but as a, I care, I'm there.
Well, sticking by people, standing by people, standing up for them, etc.
Standing up for what you believe in and people you believe in. And that was one of my main ones. So loyalty shocked me.
I love that.
But also kindness and authenticity.
Well, loyalty in the way that it's loyal to stay with someone if they're like going through a hard time and you've like got each other's back. It's not about being loyal to somebody who's treating you like shit and doesn't give a fuck about you. That's not loyalty. That's
Desperado sing in an old Monte Carlo.
A half as heart as hollow or something like that.
I feel so wholesome.
Wholesome. Now on with the clit talk.
Before we get into all of the clit combo, we thought we should quickly come in and give you guys a bit of a trigger warning for all things sex, sexuality, sexual assault, and rape. We didn't go too heavy into these topics, but you know what we're like. So take everything we say with a pinch of salt, and please leave if you think the conversation is not for you. But thanks so much for being here. This is a great episode. Stay tuned. I mean, I said a few episodes previous, I think, unless I was just saying this to myself in the mirror, that I wanted to start saying clit all the time.
Yeah, you did say that.
Because I say literally every other word under the sun more often than I use the word clit, which is pretty crazy considering I have one.
Yeah, dick, butthole.
Bell end, I think, was the example I used, yeah.
Bell end, bollocks.
Why are you talking so much about bell ends when you could literally say clit?
Cock.
But we never say it.
Clit.
Clit.
Think of what that evokes. The power of that word. The power. Yet we're out here saying you're a bell end.
You're a bell end.
You're a little bell end. You're a dickhead.
So I feel like we're going to get into the fact that, I guess, I mean, I haven't been in school in a while. What about you?
Same amount of time, been a couple years.
It's been a while. And it's been a while since like sex education, although I can't imagine it's changed all that much.
Well, it was so bad before. If they've even raised it a tiny bit, it's still pretty bad.
Yeah. To be in the UK and get a certain level of sex education is different to even like places in the US, like places worldwide, like wherever you may be listening. I grew up thinking like, okay, this sex education wasn't that bad. Like, I feel like they went quite in depth with us in primary school, I remember. But also, I kind of grew up with sex education being like my favorite subject. Like, I used to get so excited.
Yeah, completely get that.
It's different.
It did feel quite sort of, first of all, it's like, right, okay, I can skip maths.
It's amazing, we don't have to do fucking maths, yeah.
Same wavelength, no maths. Fuck trigonometry.
I don't know how to divide even by two. Just get that out of the way. Elephant in the room.
Haven't got a clue what a seven times table is. But yeah, one, you get to skip maths. Two, we're talking about sex. Like, it felt very, oh my god, I'm an adult, welcome to the adult world, I've been hearing about this place and I'm getting a little view.
When did you feel like an adult, or like when did you feel like you had a grip on sex and sexuality, or are you still waiting for it?
Yeah, I was gonna say still waiting to feel like an adult. I feel like I've got a grip on sex, but also I don't have a grip on sex. I think it's such a confusing place. The bed is such a confusing place.
Where the magic happens.
where the magic happens. I don't know, that the power structures that are at play are definitely more important than you're ever told. And why would they tell you? The patriarchy's a thing. No one seems to be telling children about this. Kind of for good reason, I guess. Don't want to scare them too young. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, do you feel like you've got a grip on sex?
Well, I was just thinking, it's almost like a bit of a paradox between the more you know about yourself, the more you know about the sex you're having. Or is it the more you know about yourself and the more you know about society, the less you know about sex?
Ooh, god, love it.
You know, it's one of those things, the more you know, the less you know, because it's, you find the holes, you start picking it apart and realizing actually that the way that you're viewing it in your mind is quite fickle.
Yeah,
or the structure doesn't hold up.
I love it.
Well, don't you think us all the time, we're like, you think you're having sex but actually you're being raped? Right,
let's back it up.
Let's go back.
If you haven't listened to our episode on, what was it on? Was it on porn?
I don't know.
We made some episode. Go listen to all our episodes.
Go through the repertoire.
Go for the sexual titles. It's one of those. We were explaining that more often than not, it seems to be the case that men get a lot more out of sex than women do.
Even more than that, I think if we can all appreciate that the lines of consent are far more complex than we were ever taught as kids, of course, our understanding of rape is actually far inferior to what the realities actually are. If I know, just by simple conversation and my tiny sample size of the convos that I have with friends and people that I meet, an abundance of women that have had multiple sexual encounters that they did not enjoy or did not feel right to them or they were not comfortable in,
yeah.
How could our concept of rape not be holding up? Of course it doesn't. Something's not adding up here.
We have no understanding of consent.
I know I started off talking about clits, but all of a sudden I'm saying everyone's being raped. I get it. It's a big jump, but please bear with.
Thing is, if you're listening to this, I'm sure you are. I'm sure you can handle the conversation of clits.
Or abandon ship.
Or you can jump ship at any time. We're going to do it too at the end. Imagine we do a 5-minute episode. And that's it. You're all being raped.
Bye.
if anything, we're not taking the concept of rape lightly. We're taking the concept of consent very heavily.
No, it's more serious. Yeah, I'm saying we don't take it serious enough.
Very, very fucking serious. Absolutely not. The concept of consent in our society is so vague. It's if you say yes, then you consent. If you say no, then you have not consented. First of all, people don't fucking abide by those laws anyway. Women are saying no all over the place and being fucking raped. Look at the news, speak to a woman. But also when women are saying yes, that is not enough often. And I don't mean you should be saying, can I put my hand here?
Yeah,
can I kiss you here? I'm not saying that is what sex should look like. Absolutely not. That sounds absolutely like a situation I do not want to be in. Stiff as a board, that whole situation. But the definition of consent is too flimsy. It's so binary. And that is just not the case, because speak to women and you'll find out that women have been in situations that are not right or not comfortable, and they were more reminiscent of sexual assault than sex that the man may have viewed that as.
Completely. And also, if our view of rape is so limited and reductive in the sense that it is what? Penis in vagina, penis in anus? Bumhole? Whatever. Already, it's not including all of the other ways that sex can happen between, for example, two people that aren't one man, one woman.
Yeah.
It's so much more blurred. Then add in on top the fact that as an activity, we view it in such a transactional way that it's like, okay, so if I said I was going back to yours, does that mean that I said I was going to have sex? Because I said I was going back to yours, but you heard we're going to have sex.
Because that's just implied. Also, we've been informed by a history of not only just the conversations that we're having, but media, which tells us everything we need to know. That, I mean, the idea of asking for it. Tell me that rape culture doesn't exist then. If you're going to deny that rape culture exists, don't tell me that you think that a girl walking down the street was asking for it.
Well, she was asking for it. Okay, why didn't you didn't ask for it? You literally didn't ask.
Bleak.
Ay, ay, ay. And I do think this is all related to the fact that we use the word bell end all the time and never say clit.
Mm-hmm.
Because sex is viewed as a man's world.
And it wouldn't be nothing without a woman or a girl.
Like, sex is the male domain and women get bought into it and exploited if and when they are needed.
Yeah. And it's entirely focused around the man's pleasure. And it's like the idea that we don't say the word clit at all, and we refer to the vulva as a vagina. We literally view our sexual reproductive organs as the bit that a penis goes into.
Cut it down.
That's not your sexual organ. Your sexual organ is your clit.
Yeah.
And we don't say the word clit because it's seen as secondary. We say bell end constantly. We say dick constantly. We put on the story, like, just for fun, what names do we call our vaginas? Because I say my vagina, but what I'm actually referring to is my vulva. But it just shows how we absolutely have no clue about female anatomy, that we refer to a whole bit which has labia, a clit, and a vagina as a vagina.
Well, even when you know, we haven't changed the discourse around it is still so reductive. Even though, like, you're probably listening thinking, yeah, I know it's a vulva, like, tell me something new, like, oh, I'm gonna click off this podcast soon. But it's like, even though you know, yeah, you can tell me, you know it's a vulva, but we don't act like it.
Okay, well, say to your dad, you wouldn't say your vagina to your dad, but say to your friends, oh my god, my vulva's really hurting,
your
and
dad.
Watch the looks you get. I was going to say, well, to be honest, it should be pretty normal to say to your dad.
You should, yeah.
Or kind of like, I'm on my period. Just things like, I think it should be more normal. Like, the idea that you couldn't say vulva seems really dirty.
The fact that girls go to the toilet with a tampon hidden up their sleeve is honestly just a sad state of affairs that we've gotten ourselves into. What a pickle.
Did you used to take a little sanitary towel to the toilet in a little tin?
Oh my God, yeah. I want to bring those back.
As if that makes it more discreet. I thought they were so ugly.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, they could have done them well.
Very floral. Yeah, they could have done them cool. Maybe we should bring some out.
I know, I do think, I genuinely do think about it.
Anyone need a little tin?
Yeah.
Anyone want a little pointless tin for your sanitary towels?
What was the vagina chat like at your school? Like, not sex education, but like, what were the things that were said about the vagina? Because I feel like growing up, there's like in your teenage years, those formative times, there's a lot of chat about like her vagina stinks or like,
oh god, so true. Well, I don't know if there were specific things like her vagina stinks, but there were definitely,
well, there's kind of a lot of child porn being passed around and
the boys commenting on it, which is mental.
There was definitely child porn being passed around. And there was also just the idea that sex would be very painful. I think that was kind of, it was all very rooted in like, just kind of when your friends start losing their virginity and all of that, like it's the idea of pain is very much put around. But I think there was more the idea of like girls that fingered themselves are embarrassing.
Really?
Fingered themselves would be the lingo.
Fingered themselves.
Like blah, 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 fingers herself. Yeah. Like that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's so true. She fingers herself. Oh my God. I remember there was, I don't know who it was, but there was a story about someone like sitting on like a gear stick in a car.
Also so untrue. So untrue. I mean, that like, never happened.
Quite the maneuver to pull off.
Yeah, that
that's
honestly,
a pretty fat fucking gear stick.
You have got some skills. I hope you monetize that.
I feel like you're just brought up with a lot of shame, like a lot of fear. It's like, oh, it could be me next, that they like someone might say something. It could be me, like, let's, do you know what I mean?
I definitely agree. Were there big things at your school then? Because there were a few, but I don't want to say them because it's just so much bullying was said around vaginas. Yeah. And girls at school, like so much.
Okay, maybe I shouldn't then, right? Made me feel bad.
No, go for it.
Do you get what I mean? Like there's a lot of fear of like, oh, they might, it's kind of like, oh, we're all witches, like who's gonna turn on me next?
Whose vagina is going to betray them? Yeah, well, there was definitely the idea that if, for example, someone had got fingered at a party or someone had had sex, someone had given someone head at a party, it would be, which was weird that it would kind of go in these weird stages, like, she gave him a hand job. It's like, what, and then walked away? Like, what the hell?
Yeah, it's quite weird to think about.
Then she got with someone else. Like, it's just the weirdest, like, school parties were just bizarre.
Yeah.
And then, like, got picked up by her mom. It's just like, I don't get this. So bleak.
Oof, and kind of in a tiny little bathroom and then runs away. And then they never speak again.
Yeah.
They never speak again. He ignores her at school.
She messaged him on Facebook, but he never replies. Oof. Yeah, I think that was definitely the idea that if something like that happened at a party, it's the school's knowledge. It's everyone's, it's free reign for anyone to comment on.
Well, it must be really different now as well with like Snapchat and Instagram and shit like that. Like, obviously we're not that old, but nude culture has changed. Like, kids and sex has changed.
The concept of nudes wasn't really a thing so much.
Mischievous face. Just because I feel like it was a thing.
It was a thing, definitely. But I think the idea of nudes being kind of something you see quite regularly, like it would be kind of Emma Watson has had her nudes leaked. Oh my God, her life is over.
Well, there wasn't kind of OnlyFans.
Exactly. Whereas now it's like go on Instagram and you're going to see loads and you don't really consider them nudes. They're just stunning photos now. Whereas before it would be kind of, oh my God, her nudes.
But I do think now it's like the kind of 14-year-olds are sending a Snapchat of their like bum to a boy.
Yeah, definitely.
Oof. Ay, ay, ay.
Doesn't sound nice. What's she getting in return?
Even if she wasn't getting anything back, what is she giving?
No, but that's what I mean. I don't mean she's getting a dick pic. I mean, what's she getting back? Oh, she's getting some validation from a shit boy.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what she's getting back.
But even then, it's like, I feel like the conversation about sex and empowered sex and like female empowerment and sex and sexuality and blah, 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 has strayed so far into like blind positivity that people get scared to acknowledge all of the losses or like the things that don't feel good in the reality of what it is for a teenage girl to be sexual and for anyone to be sexual, blah, 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 in this kind of crazy world where there is so much at stake. It's like still now, like you are, like I'm sure you listening maybe are in a position where if a nude that you took 4 years ago came out, would you lose your job?
Oh my God.
I don't know. Like, would you be too embarrassed to go to a family event? There's so much at play that we don't, it's the kind of like toxic positivity thing. It's like you get so sucked into the, I love my body, body positivity. I'm manifesting. I'm so positive that it's like, let's look at the reality here. There are things at stake. Like, it's not just about embracing sexuality and being so empowered. Investigate if there is actually any empowerment there at all.
Literally, yeah.
Because if you can't use the word clear, but you're sending a picture of it to somebody, your relationship with them obviously is more important to you than your relationship to yourself. And that's what I always found annoying, is that the fact that, so what, I'm expected to touch my eyeball and put my contact lenses in. I'm supposed to sit for an hour and get acrylic put on my nails. I'm supposed to get some sort of foreign body put onto my literal finger. fingernails, but I'm not supposed to know anything about my cervix. As fucking if. Best believe I know when my cervix is low, open, closed, hard.
Tilted.
I'm all over it.
As you should.
As she should.
As you should. The idea that women's bodies are not for them and they are just an act of performance for the male gaze, and not even the male gaze, the gaze, society's gaze of, oh, is she a slut? Is she frigid? Is she pretty? Is she, where does she fit? Where can we box her? Is inherently patriarchal. Is inherently rooted in things that want to control women and assign them little roles of mother.
Maiden. Crone.
Mother, maiden, crone. If you've been watching the newest Hecate from Sabrina. Such bollocks.
It's true. It's like, is she a Fleur Delacour or is she a fucking Molly Weasley?
Yeah, exactly. How much of your sex is actually your empowerment? Are you actually enjoying this? And how much is performed empowerment, which is something we talk about all the time, performative empowerment? You can go around, you can be like, oh, I'm in a slut phase. I think we spoke about this in our slut phase episode. There we go. Where it's like, I'm in a slut phase. I'm feeling so empowered. I've just got out of a relationship. I've just had a breakup and I'm going to sleep with some people that I want to sleep with. Are you empowered in that? Or are you performing empowerment? You're performing the role of a girl that's just been through a breakup and wants to become like sexually liberated.
Yeah.
What does sexual liberation look like when consent isn't defined properly? When, I mean, paedophile culture is alive and kicking.
And it's true. How are you embodying sexual liberation when your sex is only a performance? The only way that you know yourself and your sexuality is through a gaze of yourself. Like, you are constantly kind of the observer of your own self and your own sex, rather than knowing it to be something that you experience within yourself. It's just a concept for others to view.
It's definitely ingrained from an early age, in the sense that if we're taking it to sex education, school sex education, because for some reason we love to take this back to school, but I think it's because this stuff all starts early.
Mm.
The boys go off into their classroom and they learn about what their dick does, and we go into our room and we learn about all the terrifying things that our vagina does and what dicks will do to our vagina and how a baby will pass through it. And it's never about like the idea of selfhood, pleasure, your own identity, but the men are all learning from a place of like what their bodies will do, and we're kind of learning about what our bodies will receive.
Yeah, and also in the most binary way.
Completely.
It's like, okay, vagina penis split. It goes back to the thing of the more you know, the less you know. Like, I think sex education just introduces a load of questions to be unanswered. And I don't know how it's changed since, but I can't imagine that there's any discussion of like real empowered understandings of sexuality, because how could there be? Because it's all about kind of reproduction.
So what was yours like then? Because you seem to have had quite a good one, in that you seem to speak quite fondly of your sex education.
But I don't know if that's just I'm quite perverse and I just kind of would have indulged in any like,
yeah, no, I'll give what they take, but the things they gave were fucking weird when I think back.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what I think, is I almost can't really, it's a bit of a blur. And I also feel like I was pretty lucky in that I had always grown up with like an open conversation around sex and sexuality at home anyway. So I went into sex education already knowing everything they were going to tell me.
Knowing the most.
So it almost was like, oh great, now you lot can learn like what I know, like perfect.
You're kind of running the class.
Yeah, I'm kind of like looking around like, God, you're shocked, are you? I also think like I was on the internet a lot, like maybe from a young age. I don't know, I was an only child, so I was in adult conversations. I was like watching media that maybe wasn't meant for me.
Like, pornhub.com.
So kind of like sounds like I was just like completely neglected. I wasn't. But I was always more aware of things that were maybe beyond my age group. So I felt like sex education was just like, yeah, great, whatever, blah blah blah. Versus if I was growing up feeling like, oh no, like I don't think I am going to be interested in penis in vagina sex, or actually I don't identify with this thing called a vagina at all. I would have a lot more memories of it. But because I've had like a pretty not straight as in sexuality, but just the straight cut like societal norm way of viewing sexuality, I don't have any riveting memories of it because it wasn't like a hardship for me.
Well, it was designed for people specifically like you.
Exactly.
Or you fit in within the box that they've designed the class for.
Yeah, as most of us do.
Completely.
Any cis person, sex education is made for you.
Sex education, I 100% have no memory. Well, I know that my sex education from an early age, but even also going up to like late secondary school, there was no mention of like trans people. There was no mention of, to be honest, I don't know if there was a mention of anything other than heteronormative sex.
Yeah, no.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen,
premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So do you think that's changed? Because even in like towards the later parts of education and now even in workplaces, at least pronouns are a conversation. So, I mean, I literally haven't experienced sex education, but you would hope that it's changing slightly. Do you think it's changing or no?
If I think back to my school, I cannot imagine them starting the thing, everyone go around and say your pronouns. I just physically can't imagine it, but that's because it was awful.
Well, the problem starts when you have kind of teachers who ended up being teachers because they didn't know what they wanted to do with their subject that they did at uni, and they became teachers, and suddenly now they're teaching sex. It's like, these are the least equipped people to teach sex to a bunch of kids. Like, you need to get
sex
educators to teach sex.
Quite a big subject.
Goodness me. That's where our problems start, I think. People who have the most narrow view of, like, kind of, he's been raping his wife for the past 20 years and now he's going to teach a bunch of kids. Did a man teach you sex education?
No, I only women. Yeah, it was only women.
We always had women.
Yeah, I reckon that's conscious. I definitely would have been absolutely mortified. Age 11, a man being like, and then the man was put his penis.
That's the thing. I'm almost like, I can't imagine Mr. Brookman talking about sex. But... I don't know.
Not Mr. Brookman, no, I can't handle. I remember really embarrassing things, though. Like, it was definitely seen as funny, like very, very funny. Mm. Like, there would always be, I don't know if I've told this on the podcast before, but there was like sort of a hat that we'd all put our little questions in. And I remember when I was in real, real primary school and I asked, is the number of times you put the penis in, is that the number of children you have?
Yeah.
So that shows I had no clue. That was year five.
Well, I saw someone sent us a message saying they used to think that by fingering themselves, they could get pregnant. I mean, I kind of see where they were going with it, in the sense that it's like, yeah, you look at a dick and it's like, oh, this basic old thing, whatever. And then you look at a vagina and you're like, wow, this must have taken years to construct. Like,
this is so complex.
This is a whole masterpiece. Yeah, this is a whole piece.
Yeah.
And then you think, okay, where do I begin to start explaining what this is when you don't even know yourself? There's a whole lot of unlearning and relearning to be done.
And they grew up with shame around their vagina, shame around masturbation, shame around being a slut, or whatever these words are.
Well, the people who taught us about sex were taught about sex by people who were born in the 1940s.
And those cannot be my educators. I'm sorry, no.
So there we have it.
So I don't trust you at the best of times. I'm not trusting you with my own vagina.
So even this podcast is already outdated. Like, if I were to sit down with my now little sister and talk about sex, it's already outdated information, considering I was born in the 90s and this is 2020. It's outdated info. Like, I'm only sourcing what I can find from the minute fields of Instagram and passing it on. We're constantly having to unlearn. It's from antiquity. Yeah, yeah. This is not reality. Meanwhile, you're challenging also the main form of sex education at the moment in the Western world, which is porn.
If you've listened to any of our episodes, you know that we do have slight issues with the porn industry as a whole.
Some sort of obsession I have with talking about porn.
But it's because it informs everything. And when it informs your own sexual relationships, it's like, why does this area that's made by people that don't value women's pleasure have any impact on what happens to my own vessel, my body?
Completely.
Should not be the case. This man over here does not get to dictate what the people I have sex with find erotic. But it turns out they do.
Yeah, or shouldn't control what I know about my own body.
Yeah.
But that's the problem as well, is that the taboo has kind of permeated so far and wide that literally the people in power are too embarrassed to talk about sex, so they're too embarrassed to admit that porn is a problem. It's like, if we could all just actually have an honest conversation, it's like, you're too embarrassed to stand up in the House of Commons and say, yeah, that porn thing, I actually do agree, it is a bit fucked.
Like, have you seen it recently?
You're too embarrassed. You don't want to talk about porn because you know you've been cheating on your wife and the tabloids are going to come out with all these stories because you spoke about sex and opened you up.
Now you're a sexual politician.
Exactly, yeah, because you've been fucking a pig.
Ay-yay-yay. Politics is a joke.
So the fact... But I just think that the... hang on. Cut. This is when I start to get angry. And everything kind of falls apart.
Yeah, I'm starting to feel like the train of thoughts are going because we're...
Getting fumigated.
It is an angry topic, though, because it's... People are getting raped out here. Like, it's not fucking... It's not... We're not fucking about. It's not like, oh my God, this is blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, but then when I speak to 30-year-old women that have never had an orgasm, sorry, am I not supposed to feel fucking upset for them? I feel angry.
And also in the way that it's like, you've been taught so much. You've been taught to investigate the way your stomach looks. Mm-hmm. You've been taught to investigate your fucking jawline, if your jawline is good enough, but you don't know anything about your fucking vagina. You don't know what the inside of your vagina is like because you've been told that it's, you can't touch it. But you've been staring at your fucking nose all day.
Till the cows come home.
Yeah. Isn't it interesting what you are taught to place importance on when it comes to your body? You should know everything about your hair and the way that you should fucking wax your moustache, and you know nothing about your clit. Isn't that interesting?
It's bleak. How many people have you spoken to where that actually say, oh, vaginas are just ugly. Vaginas are ugly.
Everyone.
Just so many girls seem to think a part of their own body, something that if they investigated, they could have a whale of a time, seem to think that that's ugly.
Well, they don't even know what it looks like.
Fuck off.
What a shame.
Even the idea of like sort of shaving and all of this stuff, I know we say it all the time, you know it, it's rooted in pedophilic standards of beauty.
Mm.
But also just this maintenance that needs to go on with women's bodies, and just like, it's not good enough as it is with hair on.
Your body in its natural state isn't good enough.
It's not good enough. It needs, before you have sex, you need to...
It's not acceptable.
You need to monitor that. You need to stay on top of that. You need to be shaving every bit of hair off it.
You need to spend money on it.
It's not good enough as it is, which is, there we go, there's the fucking problem. It's not difficult. It's not hard. Sure, okay, completely. I get boys can trim their pubes too. Yeah, true. But it's not the same. It's literally not the fucking same.
It's not the same. It's not the fucking
same. Not the fucking
same.
Tell me the last time.
You know it's not the same.
Saw.
You fucking know deep down it's not the same.
Yeah.
When does a boy ever say, sorry, I haven't shaved? It's not even a thing.
Honestly, the apologies. The apologies. Sorry, I haven't shaved. Sorry that the world made you think like this.
Right. I just saw one message. Someone said they thought that starting your period, i.e. bleeding, means you have cancer. Laughing, crying.
The things we're told.
Honestly, I read about something. I mean, also, I don't think this is an isolated incident that I read, where someone obviously started their period and they started crying, and they were begging their parents to go to the hospital because they thought they were dying, because you didn't know you were going to have a period.
The beginning of the film, Carrie, she's like in the showers,
yeah.
She starts bleeding and she's like, what the fuck? I'm dying. Like, you would think that.
Yeah. You're living the life imitates art, as they say, in a patriarchal society.
I literally thought I'd shat myself. I was like, there's nothing that I knew all about you're gonna get a period at some point, but I started quite young
and you didn't think it would happen to you.
Yeah, I was kind of like, I'm obviously exempt from this, or like, this is like what 15 year olds deal with, this isn't what 11 year olds deal with.
Yeah.
I was like, I shat myself.
Where were you?
I was at my grandma's house and I was like staying a few nights, and I hid my knickers, like I didn't tell anyone, and my mum found them in the wash and she was like, you've started your period, go write it in your diary. And I ran and wrote in my diary.
Why didn't you tell anyone?
Because I thought I'd shat myself.
What, and you were just perpetually shitting?
I literally didn't know. Yeah,
you were just,
I just
in a constant state of shit. Oh, I shat myself earlier, and now I continue to shit myself.
Now I've got a shitting problem. Kind of. It's either wee or poo, and it's definitely not wee, is what I thought.
Yeah.
So it could be shit. I think it just didn't cross my mind that it could be my period because it seemed like this mythical thing.
I knew immediately though it was my period. But so I started at school, same as you. I was 11, I think 10 or 11, and I came home and I think I felt kind of weird, but probably, yeah, felt like I wet myself. And then I came home and I went to the toilet and I saw blood in my knickers and I thought, oh.
It's now.
And I went, Mum, I've started my period.
Oh my God, what did she say? Go write in your diary.
No, she didn't. She's not. I wish she did.
I did find something in my diary though. Because I looked back. So I've always been quite a big diary keeper, even to this day. And I found in my diary, because when we were asking what everyone's names for their vaginas were, I used to call mine a Lulu. And I found my diary from when I was like 5 and it said my Lulu bled dot. And it's like, what was that?
5?
5.
Why did it bleed?
I don't know. I must have bumped it or something.
I remember I went to the doctors when I was really young too, but I can't remember why.
Maybe your Lulu bled.
Isn't that funny? And I wonder if our dads knew. Do you know what I mean? Like if, oh, I had to take Poppy to the doctor or whatever.
Poppy.
Everyone's like, who the fuck is Poppy?
My family call me Poppy. It's a long story.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, my dad did know because I had to, because my parents are split up.
When you were 5?
No, I wasn't 5. Oh, what?
You just said you were 5.
Not when my period started.
No, but when you said my Lulu bled.
When my Lulu bled. No, why would my dad know? I wrote in my diary. Unless he's reading my diaries.
Because, well, kind of a thing of like, oh, like, okay, my daughter's like, something's happened. Like, well, I would take her to the GP. No, it was just a little thing.
I reckon it's, I wrote all sorts of shit in there. I used to write like...
You're just making things up left, right and centre.
I wrote like my friends got sore butt. Like weird things. I remember one of them was, I saw a nest. Dot.
Nice, that's so cute.
So there was all sorts of shit in there. So my Lulu bled was one of them, but that wasn't my period.
Lulu's quite cute.
Your little Lulu.
Kind of Dolly Parton, Lulu.
What's that got to do with her?
Lulu. You know the singer, Lulu.
It's Dolly Parton.
No, but she reminds me of Dolly Parton. Kylie Minogue reminds me of Madonna.
You're kidding. Same. I always get them confused. I get confused.
I used to when I was younger. I don't anymore. Well, it's kind of like, what? Two women over the age of 30 in the starlight?
Can't exist.
Must be the same person. Can't be two.
And Nicole Kidman, I get confused in that little category as well.
Nicole Kidman, fair enough.
She's kind of in that Kylie Minogue and Madonna vibe for me.
Nicole Kidman, Natalie Portman. I'll raise you.
Well, I'll raise you a Natalie Portman and maybe kind of, who does she remind me of? Kind of Emma Watson, to be honest.
Kind of Anne Hathaway.
So true. So true.
Similar vibe.
Unlikable.
Classically trained.
Classically trained. I've got some internalized misogyny. I don't like Anne Hathaway for no reason. Anna Kendrick.
This message that we got really threw me back to a conversation I remember having with someone in particular. So this person said that they had a misconception about vaginas and sex, etc., that their first time would be excruciatingly painful and they were so scared to have sex. And I know so many people that were really scared of like the pain.
The pain.
Quote unquote, the pain.
The pain. It was honestly Liam Payne and people could not stop talking about it.
Paino. Big Paino.
Pain. Pain. I don't know what that is.
Shame.
But it could not stop talking about the pain. Like, it was definitely this, your first time might hurt, your first time you will bleed. And I think you hear the word blood and you think, oh fuck, I don't want this. It's going to be...
That's embarrassing.
It's going to be painful and embarrassing, yeah.
Also, it ends up being a problem because then when people actually have conditions or actually have instances with pain, you can't find any info on it. And this is my issue with, like, typing in something about breast cancer and I either get porn or a fucking scientific drawing. It's like, no, I need to see some tits, quick.
I need to see them pronto.
I need to see real life female anatomy without it being through a cartoon and without it being through a sexualized gaze. Give me some like real life science. Give me some anatomy of my own body. Is that too much to ask for?
Yeah, that isn't like pushed up to the chin and aren't also like in a sort of sexy red bra with the hands over the little nips.
Yeah, it's like, I'm actually Googling like a fucking scientific condition and I'm being met with porn or a stick figure.
And I don't want a line drawing of a tit. Yeah, I want to see a boob.
Why do we know everything about erectile dysfunction and nothing about boobs and vaginas? Suspicious.
Ay, ay, ay. Pain. Well, let's talk about pain.
Okay.
It can hurt. It cannot hurt. It just depends on your body.
It's just life, and this information should be readily available to us, but it's not. And it means that so many women go without a proper diagnosis. Women aren't taken seriously in medicine anyway. And also they go without the opportunity to have good sexual encounters or a good sexual relationship even with themselves. Because it's like this information about your own self is being withheld from you. I don't think so. Best believe I will go and find it for myself.
That, you're so right. That's how it feels. It feels as if a certain amount of information was purposely withheld. And I don't think it's that the teachers kind of withheld things, because I think it was withheld from them.
No, it's that the information isn't there.
It's that there is no medical research on any of this shit that's real. I mean, look at the state of the pill. Look at the state of the contraception in general.
Yeah. This is my favourite thing to shock people with at parties.
Oh, yeah. Why don't you go in on about it?
Just the fact that my nan, born in the 1940s, and me, born in 1996, great year, could be on the same contraceptive pill that came out in the 60s and has had little to no regulation or reconstruction since. I don't think so.
I don't fucking think so. You clearly don't care whether I live or die.
Think about the developments that we've made with fucking x-rays, iPhones. If I sat with my iPhone 4 that came out in like 2013, I would feel like I was using massively outdated technology.
Yeah.
And that's an iPhone 4 from 2013.
Let alone the 70s.
Let alone taking a contraceptive pill that was approved in the 1960s in the UK.
Medicine for your body.
And it goes inside you. And I, to be honest, like, God knows what happens. I think I'm still reeling the impacts of going on the pill from a young age. And I haven't been on it for a few years now.
The thing is, it's so unsurprising. I was actually reading a bit about the pill last night. It was developed, and obviously it's hugely liberating. It was seen as hugely liberating for women to be able to medicate themselves out of getting pregnant. They were in control of their bodies for once, but
it's also a burden placed on you.
They were referring to it as a paradox in that that happened, but also women were very much the guinea pigs of it and still continue to be the guinea pigs. It is largely dangerous. Look at the side effects. They don't want to bring out a male pill. They trialed a male pill.
Because there's too many side effects.
And they said it causes hormonal side effects.
Let me get out my tiny violin.
They said mood swings.
Cry me a fucking river.
They said mood swings. Those fuckers. They don't give a shit.
And it's not that I want birth control for men to have side effects.
No.
It's that at the advanced stage that we are at now, there is no reason as to why there should be so many side effects. And it can only be a weapon to be used against you and your own sexuality. The shame of it is, it's not that information is being withheld from us. It's that the information doesn't exist because we've never sourced the beginnings of the education. We stopped with fucking Hippocrates and fucking saying that women are actually just men, that their penises didn't come out and that they've got too much fucking bile and wetness in them.
And we're going for the four humours or whatever. Yeah, it's bollocks.
Yeah. And now we haven't,
This is, it's not that we're saying let's downgrade male medicine. Let's upgrade female medicine, but it never will happen because they don't give a shit. They won't care whether your body, whether you're making yourself infertile, whether you are causing yourself to, your weight to fluctuate massively, whether your skin is going to break out, whether you're going to fuck up all the relationships in your life because you literally are having the wildest mood swings of all time. You get depression, you get anxiety.
You die from blood clots. And also just in the way that you're not taken seriously when you sit in the doctors anyway. I mean, even in the UK with the NHS, I think there is a stat that says it's something like 8 years on average for a woman's endometriosis diagnosis to be given to her and taken seriously. 8 years. In that time, anything could happen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's kind of that. This is one of the things that's just like, I don't see how you cannot get angry about this, because your body is not being taken seriously. Your body is seen as some kind of thing just to throw away, shove in a corner, keep it quiet.
Yeah, your life is a symptom. It's like your existence as a woman is a symptom. So just get over it. It's just a symptom. Just bear the brunt. Lie back and think of England.
Meanwhile, let's develop the erectile dysfunction medicine like some more. This needs some serious thought. Let's get our best brains behind it. Fuck off. Why are we on shit pills?
Let's set up literal websites where we can have archives of women at the touch of our fingertips to go and meet up with and fucking sexually assault and then never see the light of day again. Ay, ay, ay. I'm getting a bit fumed, I'm not going to lie.
A little bit fumed.
A little bit angry.
Then you're going to be dating someone. It comes around to the time where you might want to have sex with them and they say, oh, I don't really like condoms. How dare you? How dare you? You want me to medicate myself?
Oof.
You want me to medicate myself for mediocre sex with you?
For your 5 minutes?
I don't think so.
It's not happening.
I don't think so.
Not today.
You little cunt. No, you little clit.
Literally, you little clit. I saw. So we asked on the story, what do you call, what terminology are you using for vagina? We've got Mary, pussy, ninny, and someone said cunt, and I thought, that's powerful if I've ever heard it.
Cunt is great. I love that someone said penis.
That's funny.
So I'm gonna start calling it my dick, my fucking dick.
Call my uterus my baby box. That's so cute.
Baby box. I quite like my tuppence. It's like 3 pence, 6 pence, my tuppence.
I hate vag, can I just say? Vag. I hate it.
You hate that, or was that a response?
It's a response to the response of saying vag.
Vag. It doesn't sound great.
I don't like it.
I'm not keen on vag. I don't think I'd find that particularly hot, vag.
Vag.
But then again, none of the terms are great.
But what's hot to talk about a penis?
They're not hot. This is the problem. This is the whole problem.
I think I've heard people.
I think dick is the best option.
But I think cock is better than dick.
Cock sounds a bit like, get that out of my face.
It's kind of a bit of a weapon.
It's a bit like, oh God.
Of mass destruction.
Cock a doodle do, get away from me.
Dick to me feels like a bit of a prick. It feels like a little bit of a teensy tiny little needle of life.
Dick sounds quite small. Prick is bad. That's prick tiny. That's a needle prick.
Prick is a baby.
I would die of laughter if someone said prick.
Prick.
Like, seriously. But can you say any of them seriously?
Well, that's kind of the problem, isn't it? Not really.
I would say penis. I would always say penis.
If you were having sex, you would say, put your penis inside me.
No, I'd say dick, but I wouldn't say get your dick inside me either. I kind of wouldn't say
a word.
I'd dart around the subject like nobody's business.
Quiet as a mouse. Yeah, I mean, there are some funny ones, but ultimately, if it comes from a place of trying to cover something up, coming up with a password, it's like, this isn't a secret.
Coochie. I don't like coochie.
Yeah, coochie, coochie, coo.
Coochie's a bit like, why are we living in paedophile culture? Coochie, coo, goo, goo, gaga.
What did you call it when you were a kid? Lulu.
A Lulu.
Someone said nunny. I'm glad they did. I said nunny when I was little.
I don't like nunny at all.
I don't like it now, no. I wouldn't, if I ever have kids, they will not be calling vaginas nunnies or any of this madness, really.
What would they be calling it?
I think vaginas, vulvas, penis, and like swear words.
It's your cunts.
Oh, did you ever say like your privates? That was a thing in school. Your privates.
Oh my God, my private parts. Yeah.
Yeah, your private parts.
My little private parts.
Privates. Yeah, privates.
That's so embarrassing.
He touched my privates.
Private?
That was quite a thing. Privates. Or like, he got his privates out. You write about that in your diary.
Imagine you say that now.
Your private.
Imagine you say that now. Can you put your privates in me?
Put your privates in my privates.
He touched my privates. That is so bad. Oh my God, his privates were so big.
I saw his privates. Honestly though, I think we should get back to that a little bit. It's like, yeah, they are privates sometimes. Like, I need some of this to be private so that I understand my privates before they become publics.
Don't make your privates your publics too early.
Do you know what I mean? I think we've jumped ship a little bit. You don't even understand your privates before everyone else is making assumptions on your privates. They're now in the public domain, but they were very much private.
Privatized.
Moo moo, I hate. I hate them all. Foo foo.
Sorry. All of these I hate. Fairy, I'm not keen on fairy.
I hate them. What were you thinking? Fanny, that's quite a one.
Vagine. A lot of them said vagine.
Vagine.
I'm not keen. That sounds like a sort of vegetarian tagine.
I quite like vagine if you're making a joke.
Punched lasagna, someone said.
Ooh, that sounds good.
What is wrong with these people?
No, I quite like that. Punched lasagna, and they also said, hang on, let me find them. Used to call it a front bum. That's quite fun.
Front bum, I'm not keen on. Shitty McGee. Shitty McGee.
They're all ridiculous, aren't they? I do like tuppence. It feels a bit like you're a bit of a lady. It's like, you forget yourself.
It is, you forget yourself.
Don't dare approach my tuppence.
It does kind of sound like you're on the market.
Tuppence is like, kind of, it's like a bit of a back alley, like, a couple of shillings for your troubles. Like, kind of under a little hood.
Oh, thank you, ma'am. Oh, thank you, sir. Yes.
Get that tuppence out quickly.
Like, you are a chimney sweep, but I am keen.
It's kind of maiden.
Mother, crone.
Crone, yeah. It's a kind of brood mare.
I'm hearing the Bridgerton soundtrack as we speak.
Have you watched it?
No, I haven't.
No, neither. That's a good reference then, considering you haven't watched it.
No, it's because I was listening to the thank you, Next on the violins, quite stunning.
I'd need to watch it.
This is a great response. Someone said, I called it a vagina. My mum didn't believe in giving them cutesy names as she thought it tried to make them more palatable when in reality they're just a part of the human body. Preach, 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 preach.
Your mother was before her time. She's been listening to Goes Without Saying, it sounds like.
Was it you?
She had a podcast, it sounds like.
That's your daughter from the future.
But it's so true, right? She's right. That resounds heavy.
That resounds. Are we all resounding? Put your hand up if you're resounding right now.
I'm resounding in that. I like that. I'm going to take a leaf out of...
your mum's book.
Yeah.
Is that right?
That doesn't feel right.
Something about that doesn't really hit.
It's making me feel not good.
We've just been reading some of your responses to the myths that you heard about sex and vaginas, and we are shook. Some of them are insane.
Oh my god.
I think we might have to just go through as many as we can, true or false them.
I can feel the fear in these responses.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? The remnants of all of that shame. Somebody said that you only discharge if you finger yourself, was terrified people would find out. It's like, yeah, I can feel your fear.
I watched a TikTok about that the other day, that someone was filming their 30-year-old husband and he didn't know. He thought discharge was cum. He was like, oh my god, so you're like coming every day, like in your knickers, like there's like cum all the time. And she was like, that's fucking discharge. He was 30, they're married, her husband, they've been having sex, I assume, for a good number of years.
Mine and my dog's jaw
dropped.
Oh no.
This person said the hymen's...
oh, don't get me started on the fucking hymen. I don't want to talk about the hymen.
The hymen's a myth. Fuck the hymen, research the hymen, get a female doctor's opinion on a hymen.
Oh, what did they say? Oh, we're actually not hearing. You took me seriously when I said I don't want to speak about the hymen.
Oh, right. I really thought you don't want to speak about the hymen. I thought, to be honest, TBH, me neither.
Well, yeah.
They said hymens do not break. Sex shouldn't be painful. Lube, lube, lube.
Lube, lube, lube.
I agree. But also the idea of a hymen that kind of, it could break on a horse. It could break.
It could pop. Come on.
Fuck off. There's no pop. Why do you want women on horses? This is clearly outdated.
You've been taught a million lies.
A million and one lies.
A million little lies.
This idea that someone said you can get things lost up there.
Oh.
I definitely remember there being an idea of like, what can you fit in your vagina?
Oh, wow. Like a little wallet, I've heard.
Like you can put things in there. Like, oh, we've got some extra storage. That's not how it works.
No, you'd probably give yourself a bit of an infection, it feels like.
You'd get toxic shock syndrome, don't
you? Yeah. Which yeah, exactly. Please. Yeah. It's not a storage system. It's not extra pockets. And oh my God, Ozzy just really growled. It's not extra storage in Animal Crossing.
It is not the yellow box company or whatever it's called.
Bigger pocket space upgrade. So many people saying flaps too big, big lips are disgusting, big lips mean she's a whore. Lol. Honestly, lol.
You need, if this is something, if you still have kind of shame around your labia, you need to follow the queen.
Yes, you do.
She's from Brighton. I've completely forgotten her name. Lydia.
I think her name is Lydia Reeves.
Lydia Reeves artist on Instagram. If you have a vulva, if you have labia, if you don't have vagina, you don't have labia, follow. That's all we can say. So stunning.
Yeah, really cool.
And to be honest, get your labia molded by her.
Yeah, so maybe, did we explain what she does?
No. She's an artist.
Just follow her. You're in for a shock when you get to that page.
She takes casts of people's vulvas and they look so stunning.
They're really cool.
They're amazing.
It's like kind of a bust that you would find in the Oval Office, but it's your own vulva.
Yeah.
How stunning. What concept?
This one's really important, I think. A girl being loose as a way of shaming her for having too much sex. You don't become loose from having sex. Or the idea that the more people you have sex with...
Isn't it convenient that if you're in one long-term relationship and you're having regular sex with them, your vagina is fine and we don't have to worry about it. But if you're having the same amount of sex with different people...
Baggy.
Or you're not in a relationship where you've been quote-unquote chosen by a man...
and affirmed by a man's single penis.
You are a big baggy vagina whore.
Yeah, and you've got a big baggy penis. Big baggy vagina. Fuck off.
Big baggy penis sounds awful. Oh no, I will never forget, I was 17 having sex and my male partner said that I had white stuff in my vagina and as if I should be worried, and he was shocked. I told him that's vaginal discharge, which is completely normal, and he was still kind of confused. I still feel shame about it years later because of his freaked out reaction. I knew all about how dicks worked, but he didn't even know what discharge was. Totally unfair. Don't feel shame. Don't feel shame about it years later, because you know that it actually isn't even about the two of you as individuals. It's just about the message
messages that we're taught from an early age that we've discussed.
I think that was quite a great opportunity for a prank that was missed. You could have done something that's like, it's like, what is this white stuff? You could have done a whole like, oh, it means I'm pregnant.
Oh, I spilt my moisturiser earlier. Shit.
Yeah.
That's my Elizabeth Arden 8-hour cream. Fuck.
Like, it means I'm dying. Or like, that's what happens when a girl is in love.
I've been marked. The devil will visit us tonight and take our firstborn son.
Should we talk about the idea that...
The orgasm gap.
Yeah, the orgasm gap. We know it, we know it. And oh boy, do we know it. So she said, do women rarely orgasm because of the lack of concentration, or is the sex really just bad?
I think it's a combination of the two.
Yeah, it's both. The sex most likely is bad, but also women do not orgasm less than men biologically. It's just societally sex is made to benefit men.
If anything, women can orgasm more than men,
literally. But it's meant to seem like, oh well, if a woman is in the right mood, it's all about whether she's concentrating, whether you've kind of lit some candles. It's not about that.
Sorry that we have fucking a broader scope of emotions than a fucking teaspoon, Ronald, some may say.
Nice.
The emotional range of a teaspoon. But sorry that women actually have to have some sort of sense over themselves to do you know what I mean? Sorry that women have a stronger relationship and a connection between their mind, body and soul
to feel some kind of power
than a silly old man wanking about dipping his cock in God knows what.
But I think it's probably the same for men, but they just don't feel alienated from their bodies in the same way, and so they always feel that they are comfortable and they have power, whereas women need to have this weird setup of a room to be able to feel that within themselves.
Well, and also that you've been brought up to feel like you're getting something put in you. It's a big transaction. It's like you're giving away a part of yourself if you're a woman, whereas if you're a man, it's just like you could have sex with anybody and it's fine. You don't have to justify it. It's almost like I feel like women are raised to have to feel like they have to justify why they're having sex with someone.
How many dates has he taken you on? Yeah, has he earned his place within your body?
You're raised to be constantly thinking about the justification, yeah, of is this okay? Have you been chosen appropriately? Are you just giving up because you're a whore and you just want to have sex? Or is it like actually worthwhile? Like, have you made the conscious decision to have sex with somebody? Like, do you know what that means? Have you thought critically about this? It's like, please point me to men who are thinking critically about where they put their penis. Point the biggest skeptic out, make him a believer.
I'm feeling quite bummed to my core.
I'm feeling honestly great.
Are you?
I'm feeling great about it.
As in, all of this exists, people were saying that the hymen and that their boyfriend didn't know what discharge was.
Yeah, because look where they are. Like, I think it's fine. I think we can get through this. I think I see the other side of this. Also, just like, take responsibility for your own life and your own behaviours and your own understanding of yourself, because what else can you do? Like, I'm not going to sit here and say to you that you need to now only refer to your vulva as your vulva and you're not allowed with your friends to say that it's a smashed lasagna or something. Like, that's funny. Like, it, and it's also like, yes, it is deep, but it can't be that deep in your life. Like, you can't feel all of this all the time. Otherwise, yeah, you'll never have sex again. You won't live. You won't see another day. It's like, yeah, not all the sex you have is going to be great and perfect, and it's not always going to be with the perfect person because they don't exist. You are your own perfect person. Just see what happens, guys. Just chill. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. Don't worry. It's okay. It's okay.
It's just about kind of making sure that you within yourself are happy with the decision. So I think it is about thinking quite critically, specifically about contraception, because that's something that is long-term affecting your body. There are many perks of the pill. We know, don't DM us. I'm on the pill and I love it. Great.
Yeah, great.
Think critically about it. Does your boyfriend refuse to use condoms? Why does he refuse to use condoms? And then think critically about the sex you're having. Who benefits more? Why do you think they benefit more? Why do they put their hand around your throat? Where have they learned that? Why do they want to blur the lines between sex and death? Like, what is happening here?
Yeah, I completely agree. I love it. So how are we doing the work this week?
We are doing the work by... Well, we were saying something about kind of looking at your vagina and really understanding it, but I was almost thinking...
I've got a better one. Slip clit into a conversation and see what happens.
Love.
Like, just use the word clit. Be like, blah, 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 clit. Like, try and work clit into a conversation.
Oh, fucking clit.
And see how offended your opponent gets.
See what happens. Say... I'm going to shout it at someone. I got catcalled yesterday and I shouted fuck off down the street. But I think I wish I'd shouted fuck off, you clit.
That's really funny. You clit.
You clit.
Clit is almost, but clit is almost a compliment. I almost quite like clitty as a bit of a compliment. Like, I'm not pretty, I'm clitty.
Quite a cute little baby name. Hey, little Clitty.
She's Clitty.
Clitty's quite hot. It's like, God, you look so Clitty.
Like, you're looking Clitty today.
But
Clitty. Are we on to something or are we?
We're on to something. Clitty.
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 Clitty gang.
Let it sit with you for a bit. Clitty. Let it stir. I'm liking.
Clitty.
Clitty.
The clittiest. I had the clittiest time last night. Let's get Clitty. Clitty.
Even like a little, like, what about you buy a pet kitten and you call it Clitten?
Clitten.
Clitten. Quite cute.
What about you buy a pair of mittens and you call them...
Mittens and you call them Clittens. Clittens. Oh, what if you get a kitten in mittens and it's a Clitten in Clittens? Oh, cute.
What else rhymes with kittens? Kittens, mittens. That's it. We've exalted the dictionary.
Weird when an episode about vaginas ends with, what rhymes with kittens and mittens? It's like, oh, okay, it's gone really weird. It's gone really wrong.
It did go as badly as we thought it would. Great.
It really did. Okay, well, I hope you enjoy saying clit and buying clittens and mittens and calling yourself the clittiest girl of all in Clit Town.
Yeah, Clitsville.
Enjoy. I'm actually really going to start. Yeah, honestly, we are living in Clitsville. Like, kind of, do we rename this podcast Clitsville?
Clitsville.
Shit, we can't rebrand again.
I start tagging our pictures, location Clitsville. I wonder if that exists. Should I check?
Clitsville. Yeah. We're all moving.
Yeah. Guys, you'll never guess where we're taking you.
School trip to Clitsville.
Clitsville.
Everyone get on the Clitmobile.
Clit. It's not going to come up. Oh, okay. There is things. Clitter House. That's beautiful. Clitter House Park. Glitter, yeah. Like glitter.
That's fun.
Clitlick Stow Docks. If you live near any of these things, please let us know. This is really beautiful. Beautiful stuff, guys. Okay, well, I'll see you there.
See you in the Clit House. The Clitter House. Clitter House. Like clitoris.
Oh, Clitter House.
Clitter House. Clitter. Bit of a weak pun.
Kind of.
If that's what they're doing, but.
I like clit. Clitty.
Clitten. Mitten.
Clitster. I could call you my clitster.
I'm your clitster.
Yeah, because you're my friend. It's just all my friends. My clitster.
You're my clitster. Oh, like sister. I'm seeing what you're doing here.
Okay, yeah, clitster like sister.
I thought it was kind of like your mister, like my little clitster.
Yeah, clitster, your mister. Like my little puppy's my clitster. Is that a bit much?
I'm just still on Clitten. The kitten. My pet kitten called Clitten.
Clitten. Yeah, it's cute. I'm honestly really
I'm racking my brain.
Genuinely.
I feel like there's a really obvious one that we're missing that people are really shouting.
Yeah. That's what I was just going to say. I feel like we're, yeah.
Let's think. What is the obvious one?
It's not like clitorzoid or like clitoroonied.
Clitzoid is fun.
I'm surprised I don't say clitoroonied already, to be honest.
Clits McGee. We always add McGee.
Clits McGee. That's good.
Clits McGee. Yeah. Oh, he's such Clits McGee. I can picture who is a Clits McGee as well.
Who?
Just kind of, I can picture the kind of guy that's a Clits McGee. He's not cool.
I was thinking quite cool guy. Like, if I said to you Harry Styles is a Clits McGee, suddenly it's like, ooh, Clits McGee.
Yeah, but Harry Styles isn't anything. He's a Clits McGee. I think there's an obvious one, but maybe message...
I think the moment's over.
Maybe message us in your clip words.
Yeah. But I am still thinking. I'm not done.
Yeah, there is one.
I don't feel finished.
But I think we have to jump ship. We have to let them go.
Okay.
If we think of it, we'll put it on the story.
Clits.
Right, let's go through.
Clits.
Past tense, clitted. Present tense, to clit.
Clit.
Future tense.
Clitting.
Clitting.
Clitting. Yeah, like you're flitting, like you're clitting.
You're clitting around. I'm just clitting around.
I've just been clitting from here to here. That's a better slut phase.
I'm clitting around.
I've been clitting. Clitting around here to here. I think clitting around is a little bit better because it also keeps you on your mission.
Yeah.
It's not just that I'm fucking around mindlessly. It's that I'm clitting around.
It's like the vagina has no part in this.
It's me and my clit.
It may have a part. This is the main character in this is the clit. So you're clitting around.
Clitting around. I like that.
That's empowerment. I think that's the answer to empowerment.
We've solved it. Completed it, mate. Okay.
Too bad that we came out with the empowerment program because that would have been the final thing.
It would have just been a page that said clit, 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 clit.
Just start clitting. Just start saying the word clit. I think we have really undone some patriarchal damage here because we have been saying this word. It's probably the most times this word has appeared in a podcast ever.
Ever?
Ever.
Surely that's some sort of record.
World record. Get us in the Guinness World Book of Records, guys. Most times clit's been said in a podcast.
I think we need to stop.
Same. I think this is a bad ending.
I think we need to go.
I told you that a few minutes ago and you started coming out with clitting.
Okay, sorry. I was still thinking. Okay, well, I think we've really clitted the clit out of this. We've clitted the hell out of this.
We've clitted around. Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.